Hello, everybody, and welcome to Friends of the Force, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm your host, Sarah.
And this week on the show, we are talking about LEGO Star Wars Summer Vacation. Get ready, folks. I hope you have your shades on. You brought your beach towels, your book, your beach balls, all of it.
Bring the umbrella. Keep the sun off your face.
Sunscreen, SPF, Star yes. War.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's the strongest form of SPF, actually. Mm-hmm. Strongest SPFs are made of kyber crystals. It's a Rogue One reference because we're going to Scarif. So we're bringing all the Rogue One references. Andor's coming out. See, it's all full circle.
Wow. That was really, really good. Yeah. So we, come with us on this episode to our Scarif beach party. We had the privilege of being, invited to the press day for the special, and we got the opportunity to chat with David Shane, who is the writer and executive producer on the special, and Ken Cunningham, who is the director. We also had the opportunity to talk with them back in October for LEGO Terrifying Tales, which was so much fun. And we did a roundtable interview with some other outlets. So if you want to go back and listen to that one before you jump into this one, it'll be over on our feed. And if not, we are happy to have you for this one. They are two different specials. So huzzah. This one takes us to the summer beaches.
Yeah, this is just such a fun special. And it's incredible how Ken and David have created this LEGO Star Wars trilogy that has become quickly one of my favorite things in Star Wars currently at the moment, especially in regards to trilogies that we've gotten, because it's just so much fun across the spectrum and there's so many great stories to tell. So if you want to hear our interview with them, we're going to run through our non-spoiler thoughts on the special for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll transition over to that because we just cannot wait for you guys to hear all the questions that we asked them, as well as their brilliant answers, because they're great minds and we're very blessed to have them as part of Star Wars.
And they're very cool.
Yeah, they're so cool.
They're so cool.
So nice too.
They are the loveliest, and it was such a privilege to be able to talk with them again and ask them even more questions about the LEGO specials. And you had mentioned, you know, trilogies and the way how they have created these three specials. And I'm thinking, first of all, one, forget single movie rankings. Rank your favorite trilogies. If LEGO's not at the top, we need to have a talk. Secondly, I think there's the potential here, and I'm just saying, to make this LEGO trilogy into a LEGO trilogy of trilogies.
Ooh.
One might call it a saga of sorts. And I know we kind of have talked about in our tweets and thoughts about the special that this is a send-off of sorts for these characters emotionally at the very least. I do think we have the opportunity here to do three more specials that take place before these specials. And then we can do three more specials that take place after these specials.
We're doing the traditional Star Wars order. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we have Valentine's Day. We have Thanksgiving. We have St. Patrick's Day. We have autumn, the season. Disney, feel free to take your ideas.
Yeah. Just take
them all. I know sharing ideas is kind of frowned upon, you know, the whole thing, copyright, whatever. Take our ideas. I will not sue you.
Yeah, we won't say a word. We won't say a word. But hey,
yeah,
what we do have some more to say about is the special, because, oh boy, I loved it. I loved it so much.
Me too.
I cried like a child. I was crying at the end of it, in fact.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what the Summer Vacation special is about, here is the synopsis straight from the press release. Looking for a much-needed break from stormtroopers and TIE fighters, Finn arranges a surprise vacation for his friends Rey, Poe, Rose, Chewie, BB-8, R2, and C-3PO aboard the ultra-luxurious galactic star cruiser, the Halcyon. But Finn's plans to have one last hurrah together goes quickly awry when he's separated from the group. While searching for his friends, he encounters three Force ghosts, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and Leia Organa, who each share their own unexpected stories of vacations gone wrong, helping him to understand that holidays are about more than just having fun. So there's a lot baked into this special. But I think the most important things to keep in mind are this is a Finn-centric story. He is seeing Force ghosts. So obviously we are now diving into his Force sensitivities, which are hinted at and alluded to in The Rise of Skywalker, which is really exciting. And he's also learning from people that are very important to the saga and to have some really fun and interesting memories to share. And also this is the last time that these characters will be together for the foreseeable future. So
And that's not a spoiler. They pretty much say that right off the bat.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
this is our last summer together, guys, you know.
Yeah, it is a last summer before college sort of vibe to the mm-hmm. special, you know, like they all graduated high school. They all beat the Sith Eternal and in the First Order at Exegol. And now it's like, okay, well, what can we do together before we go on our separate ways? So like you said, it's a send-off to the sequel trilogy characters. And I also love how this special potentially sets up futures for these characters as well, because yeah. I think that was something that really resonated with me towards the end of the special, where we kind of get all of the lessons that Finn learns into one monologue, and it all kind of comes at you at once, and you not only think about these Lego specials, but you're thinking about the whole sequel trilogy and all the time that we've spent with these characters on this journey, right? So as much as it is about the destination that we arrive at, it's more about the journey that we spent, you know, the years with these characters that we spent with the actors and the actresses, getting all these memories that we've come to grow and love.
Yeah. It's just as much about us as the viewer as it is about the characters themselves, which is what makes it so much more emotional. And I know we're talking about how much we cried at the end, but this is also a Lego special, and there are tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of laughs to be had. Just thinking about it, like, I'm giggling because some of the jokes are just really sticking with me. They're really good. So if you have enjoyed like the past specials, you'll definitely enjoy this one, because it has the same kind of zany, fun Lego humor and the same like storytelling structure with the three different vignette stories that are weaved together through this one central character. And like, they're all really good. And this special just really balances the funnies with the tears really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me in particular, the Ben Solo / Leia Organa story is really what got me the most. And that comes at the very end of the three mm-hmm. tales. And so I'm crying over that, because Ben Solo and Leia are two of my favorite characters. Also Han Solo, like getting to see them as a family unit, you know, during the summertime, and maybe a family trip that they take. That was really exciting. And well, you know, you get that, and then you get the ending of the special, and it's a lot of emotions sort of hitting you at once. And mm-hmm. It's funny, because I go into Lego being like, this is going to be great. And then I'm like, you know, tears staining my clothes. I'm like, oh God. So, but yeah, like you said, it's still so funny. I mean, the Ben Kenobi portion of the episode is, I think, possibly the funniest, because
it's hilarious.
It is bananas, like totally bananas.
It is so great. If you have enjoyed the Lego Freemaker adventures, like, you'll notice characters that pop up in this special, which is really fun too. But yeah, the hijinks are real in the Ben Kenobi story. And I think that one is my favorite of the three, just because it sets up a running joke throughout the rest of the special that I just find top tier. Like,
oh yeah,
top tier. And it is really fun. And also the music. Can we talk about the music of this special?
Yes.
I need an album. I'm not joking. This is not a game. I need to play these tunes while I am going to work and coming home from work and throwing my own Scarif Beach Party. Like, there is a song called Scarif Beach Party sung by, or is it also sung by Weird Al? I think,
yeah.
Obviously, yes. Yeah. Okay. Hello. Sarah, get with it. Yes. So he plays Vic Vanko of Vic Vanko and the Bith Boys, and he sings a song called Scarif Beach Party, and it's a bop. And there is also a song in the Ben Kenobi one that I am ready to like tattoo on my forehead. Like, I just adore it. I think it's so silly and so much fun. So yeah. I don't want to have to go to Disney Plus every time I want to listen to this and like play the 2 minutes the song appears on. I want an album, dang it.
Yeah, we are going to C2E2 this week. So if you want to get a tattoo on your forehead, I'm sure they have tattoo artists there. And what, you know, better way to start the C2E2 weekend on Friday?
Maybe not.
Release day.
Maybe
Why not?
Maybe just a t-shirt.
Okay. we'll think about it. We got some time.
I have some like permanence issues, like some commitment issues, and like the tattoo on my forehead may be a little bit of an overstatement, but like I will proudly wear the t-shirt.
But hey, I mean, this, the cast for this is also just incredible. I mean, like you said, we have Weird Al finally in a Star Wars, which is just amazing. We have Yvette Nicole Brown as Colvette Valeria, Thomas Lennon as Wick Cooper, who are both of those characters, I believe, have appeared before in Lego Star Wars form. Dee Bradley Baker as Boba Fett, Matt Lanter as Anakin Skywalker. I mean, when you're thinking of summer and the beach time and sand, Anakin, Matt Lanter, there's some good comedic potential there. And also like Omar Miller as Finn is just incredible. I think, again, this is Finn centric. He really shined with the performance, and I really felt like I grew even a higher appreciation of Finn throughout the special and like what his friends mean to him. And most importantly, in my opinion, Kelly Marie Tran as Rose, because I love Kelly, and
I was waiting. I was like, are you not going to mention her? Like,
seeing her in more Star Wars is never a bad thing.
Yeah, I was so thrilled to see her back as Rose. And we can't fail to mention Billy Dee Williams once again returns as Lando in this special. And of course, Matthew Wood as Ben Solo. He's been doing that since Resistance, and he's great in that role as well. And like, this is, and that's only some of the cast, guys. That's only some of the cast. Everybody is so good, so on point with their voices and their emotions, and every technical aspect of this special is really great. Like, the direction is really good. The visuals are, of course, exactly what you would expect from Lego, in the style and how they move, which is so much fun. Like, give me Lego Star Wars everything. Like, who, like, with all due respect to real Star Wars, do I even need it if I have the Lego versions? I ask myself this occasionally, because my initial entry in fandom was like me as a kid playing Lego Star Wars with my brother. Anyway.
Lego You're just Star a Lego Wars. Star Wars fanatic.
I am. It's the best. It's the absolute best.
It's been the year of Lego Star Wars. We had the game. We had the special. We had the celebration panel, which unfortunately we didn't get to go to, but it seems like it was a pretty good time. And our friend Meg had that amazing cosplay.
So cool.
Where she was putting characters, pictures on her dress. So that was great.
She was the holo projector.
Yeah. So many good Lego memories this year. And I think Summer Vacation is just the latest entry into that. Really is just paced so well. It's such a heartfelt story, such a fun story. Honestly, for me, it's my favorite of the Lego specials, which is saying a lot because I still loved the other two. But for me, this one just hit in all the right spots, and I can't quite explain it. I think the best way to put it is it gave me a certain level of catharsis for the sequel trilogy and these characters who reignited my love of Star Wars after it had been so absent from my life for so many years, right? Besides the Clone Wars and Rebels, the sequel trilogy took my fandom to new heights, and having such a heartfelt story really gave me some closure on that as well. And I hope we see more of these characters, because like I said, there are hints as to where they are going, and I wonder if we see a live action Star Wars TV series or movies with these characters, if it will actually follow those potential storylines, or maybe maybe inklings of them in some way.
Yeah, I'm totally with you when it comes to this being some emotional closure for these characters, and I'm really getting to appreciate them in a new way. So yeah, the special just totally worked with me, and I look forward to all of these characters' features in Lego or non-Lego form. Yeah. There's so many options.
So many. Well, I think that's about as much as we have to say about the Lego special. Like we said, we interviewed Ken Cunningham and David Shane as part of the Lucasfilm press day for the Lego special, and we are just honestly so excited that we had the chance to talk with them. So without further ado, let's turn it over to our interview with Ken Cunningham and David Shane.
All right. I'm Sarah. This is Brad. We are the Friends of the Force. Thanks so much for taking a little time to speak with us today. Congratulations on this third Lego special. What does it feel like to have done three of these amazing specials?
Oh, it's brilliant. it feels great. It's been so much fun, and it's been kind of a career highlight and kind of a dream come true,
I'm just going to agree with everything Ken said. He put it really well. It is a joy. It is a thrill. And thank you for having us, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that we're three Lego specials in, I feel like this installment especially has something for every single fan, whether you're a sequel trilogy or original or prequels, or even like Solo and Rogue One. What is your process for finding ways to integrate all those elements across the saga? And also, do you feel like you really found that rhythm now that you're three of these specials in?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, that rhythm thing is right. We've all been working together for a while now. And so there's definitely sort of, if nothing else, it helps move things a little quicker because you sort of know it works. To your first question, yeah, there's the goal of trying to include something for everyone for the first time, for maybe the kid who's never even seen Star Wars, and this, that Lego Star Wars is their entry point, to the parent who's watching with the kid, to the fan who grew up watching this and is the huge Clone Wars fan. We really do try to have something for everyone. You know, the fact that there's a bunch of folks from Lucasfilm and Lego and Atomic, you know, you have a bunch of people who all love this material. And, you know, we have Leland Chi, the keeper of the holocron, who's in the story group there. And everyone sort of has their parts that they might even know a little more. So we, you know, you'll sort of come up with a basic story idea and go, oh, what if we do that? Oh, what if we do this? And so it starts to layer on, always with the intent of finding something that everybody can enjoy and something for, you know, the people who can do the deepest dives to, as I said earlier, the new fan.
For sure. I think one thing that's really fun about this special as well is that you integrate that Disney Parks experience with the Galactic Star Cruiser and a lot of elements from the Star Cruiser. So we get glimpses of like the spaces as well as some of the food and things that you can enjoy while you're on the Halcyon. Did you get to collaborate with the Parks team in creating that element of the story and then the visual elements? And if so, what did that collaboration look like?
I mean, I don't know that I'd necessarily call it collaboration per se. Like, we weren't working directly with them, but we were getting concept art from what they were working on. Mm. And then we kind of took the exterior and ran with that because that hadn't been designed or thought about. So that was kind of like our big, you know, we were kind of trying to shape the interiors to match kind of what they were doing and then tweaking it so that it worked for what I wanted to do staging wise. But the exterior was like a whole new thing. So then we had to, our design team kind of started to run with that, and we get some input from Lucasfilm and some input from the Lego group in Denmark. And what you see is where we arrived.
Yeah, both Jason Stein and Leland Chi at Lucasfilm had both been working on, you know, various parts of the story aspect of the Halcyon. So we were able to get that information too, and they sort of shared it with us. Matter of fact, it was Lucasfilm early on that sort of pitched the idea. We're trying to find a setting for the gang. We knew we wanted to have the gang go on a vacation together. And the ship hadn't been announced yet, but they were pretty far along and in the works. I said, well, what about this? And I was like, that's great. Like, that's a perfect setting to sort of do this, both because we'd show them having some fun together, but also splitting off. And, you know, as Finn goes off on his own, gets lost and off on his own adventure, it was a great way to have all of those, to use a Lego pun, pieces. That was very satisfying.
Yeah, you mentioned Finn, and you know, we've had Rey and Poe in the first two Lego specials, and this one not only explores Finn, but also some of his Force sensitivities because he's visited by these ghosts of summer's past. Why do you feel like this special was the right one for him to headline, and especially in relation to some of the lessons that he learns along the way, right?
We all thought that Finn was going to bring some emotional heart to this in a very specific way. It's sort of in working backwards, each character who was sort of, as you mentioned, Rey being front and center in the holiday special and Poe being front and center in the Halloween special, it's very nice that it worked out so well that Finn would be the natural character to sort of carry us through there. And once we realized that, we really tried to lean into it. And, you know, I've been singing the praises of Omar Miller, our voice of Lego Finn, and he brings so much heart to it and really found it. I mean, it gets choked up. So to get to see that and see that exploration of Finn's force sensitivity and also Finn's love of the gang and the group and sort of being together in this journey that he's gone on with, you know, they're essentially a family, it felt very organic. Once we started doing it, it just felt like the right thing to do.
you know, total kudos to him for that performance. I can speak for Sarah and I in saying that we were both moved to tears at the end of the special. It felt like a very heavy catharsis of sorts, and we appreciated that.
At any time someone has mentioned they've been driven to tears, is embarrassing. I keep going thumbs up. I'm like, I'm so happy you were set. But I will confess, I get choked up. It gets me. We went for it, and then, you know, I'll sing praise to Ken's team. Like, the visuals of it also so carry it. There's even little small things that you if you're not looking, you may not even notice are going on with the lighting and such, that just like help carry that emotion. And it's all part of a bigger, you know, it's story and performance and lighting and music and all of it. And it's like, it comes together. So I'm glad. This is my long-winded way of saying thank you. Like, I'm glad it worked. The mission accomplished.
Yeah, so. I've watched it twice, and it's got me twice. So I think it's one of those things that'll just continue to emotionally get me. And as much as this is like a standalone special, it's also part of this trilogy of Lego specials that we've been getting these past couple of years. It feels a bit like a send-off to these sequel trilogy characters in a way. What inspired you both to kind of go for this summer vacation angle? And what was it like getting to explore these sequel trilogy's characters and their potential ongoing stories, as well as like the visual language of the summer vacation beachy vibe?
Look, Star Wars, obviously in the films, is a collection of trilogies. And when we were talking about it in summer vacation, one of the things we were saying, and it's kind of in Finn's moment, is we were thinking a lot about the kind of road trips and family vacations we took with our families and sort of enjoy those experiences. But there's also part of it, you know, particularly in Ben's story, is the kind of going off to school at the end of the summer and sort of, you have that experience, you live that experience, and then that experience is over, and it continues to exist as a memory. But there are moments in time that are beginning, middles, and ends. So it just felt, it all felt right to do in this third story. And then Ken, Sarah, you also mentioned visuals. So yeah.
Yeah. The visual kind of, you talked about when at the Terrifying Tales time, how you really guys were able to dive into kind of the zanier elements of the Halloween style. And what were some of the specific like visual elements that you could pull from the summer vacation settings and style?
I mean, yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, that's what's really lovely about working on this stuff and being kind of canon adjacent. Like, you know, we definitely do, there are moments where it's like, yeah, we're going for the Star Wars thing, but it gives me the opportunity. And I like to do this. Like, I like to try and look for non-obvious things to reference. So, I mean, in terms of the beach stuff, you know, obviously I went and I watched, you know, a bunch of those 60s beach films and tried to kind of get some of the vibe of that. You know, but I also went and I looked at a lot of Baz Luhrmann films for the musical elements, you know, specifically for the, you know, the Scarif Beach Party and for the, you know, the Ben song, and just look at the way he used his camera and the way the dynamics of the way he kind of moves things and stages things. And so it's really fun to kind of get to dig into those things.
I'll also sing Ken's praises. The moment where Sodero, where Ben Solo first sees Sodero, and that we described that very early on in the script as our Dreamweaver moment.
Yeah.
And then to see that translated visually, and then to hear Michael Kramer finding a way to musically carry that feeling, just, you know, the writer, producer, and he's like, yes, that, except for that's 10,000 times better than it was in my head. Like that, but that is what Ken, that's what Ken and the whole team at Atomic constantly do, is they find those things and they just elevate them beyond hopes and expectations.
Yeah. Well, and Michael too, right? Like, so the, like,
sure,
the,
yeah.
You know, on the Scarif Beach, the montage and for the Scarif Beach Party. Sorry, I'm starting to lose my language. he did that sort of surfabilly kind of thing, you know, which we kind of talked about. But when he brought it and put it in front of us, it was like, yes, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Ben, and he is somebody who's been prominently featured in each of the Lego specials, previously more as Kylo Ren, the version of himself. But in this one, we really get to explore him and his youth, as well as like, what are Han and Leia like as parents, right? And, you know, taking a family trip and trying to be the cool dad, and also the mom who has that intuition of when something is wrong. what do you think it is about this character that makes him somebody great to explore in a Lego setting, especially this younger, you know, true Ben Solo version of himself as opposed to Kylo Ren?
Yeah, I think in part you hit it. Like, we haven't gotten to see a lot of that. We knew, I was mentioning earlier, like those car trips we took with our parents, and we realized we had this natural family unit, and so it was a really fun way to explore it. And so it started from there. And I think he is a great character. Like, the screen version is equally wonderful, and to get to do a Lego, equally wonderful. I mean, it's the thing we started from. It's wonderful, and the chance to do that as a Lego character is just great. And then I will say, like, Matt Wood, our voice actor, who also does a bunch of our sound, like, just brings a ton of emotion and heart to the character. He did it with Kylo in Terrifying Tales, and he did it with Kylo in the holiday special, and you realize, like, he's just a really gifted actor and can give you these layers to, particularly to a character we haven't seen that much of. So that was just really fun to do. And it was fun, you know, frankly, it was fun to watch Han be a dad and Leia be a mom. Like, you hit it around the nail on the head again. Like, my mom was the one who sort of knew, there's trouble, like, here it comes. So give that moment to Leia was really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned music just a little bit ago, and music is such a big part of special kind of throughout each of the stories. I am, like, beyond ready to make these songs, the songs of the summer. The song in the first story I have had stuck in my head all week. I am very ready to, like, tweet about it, sing it out loud. So what was it like to work to create these tunes, kind of weave them into the story? And what is it like kind of being the one to pull the trigger on getting Weird Al into Star Wars as Vic Vanko, of Vic Vanko and the Bith Boys?
I still to this day don't know how we managed to pull that off and feel so incredibly grateful. Somebody early on in the meeting said, what if we got Weird Al to play this part? And it's just one of those things, everyone went, yep, let's. and we told people, like, we had no plan B. So I don't know what we were going to do if we would say no. I mean, Ken, you've talked, like, going to the production, you were late in the game, still designing, like, we get them.
When you're dealing with somebody at that level, it takes a while for all the contract stuff and, you know, like, all those gears to grind. So, like, I was in production, like, we're sticking them in there, and we're like, we don't have a yes in place yet. And I'm like, I really hope this happens, because it's going to be a big change if we can't do this.
you just go on faith and hope and speak into the universe, and it comes true. And in terms of writing the songs, yeah, I wrote these lyrics. And then again, I'll praise him again, Michael Kramer, who can pretty much do any genre. We sat down, we said, we really want kind of this, you know, kind of summer hit poppy song for Scarif Beach Party. And we want to do kind of a dance number, a hip hop dance number for Gamorrean Girls. And just, you know, he takes the lyrics and then puts this incredible score and music to it. And we go back and forth and hone and craft this thing. And then, you know, James Arnold Taylor comes in and just kills it as Obi-Wan doing this, like, somehow finding a way to get Obi-Wan. You don't actually know it's going to work until you hear it. Like, okay, wait, we've got Obi-Wan Kenobi rapping and singing a song. Oh, I hope this works. I don't know why. It's not really surprising. Of course, James Arnold Taylor can kill it, but it's a great thing to see it come to life. And obviously, Weird Al, you know, you're going to get something great, and he crushed it too.
Yeah. Well, our final question here is more of a rapid fire one, but when it comes to summer vacation, which of the characters in the special do you feel you identify with? Are you a Poe planner? Are you a relax Rose, a reading Ray? Like, where do you guys fall in that category for each of you? It's kind of a fun question.
I will say my wife is planning Poe. I'm reading Ray.
That's definitely have to go on vacation together. Because
my kids are the droids.
Yeah, I mean, my fun answer would be the Gonk droid, but in truth, I am a reading Ray. And yeah, my wife is a spreadsheet guru, so she's the
awesome. Every, well, thank you both so much.
Gotta have a great planner.
You have to, otherwise you just wind up sitting in the train station all day.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And again, we love the special. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks
for having us.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to our interview with David Shane and Ken Cunningham. And also a huge thank you to Lucasfilm for including us as part of the press day. Such a fun opportunity. And I always love talking to those two again, because they're so much fun. They're so cool. I could talk to them for like another hour, honestly, like about the LEGO specials, because they're just, they got so much knowledge. I want to pick their brain even more.
Right. I really would just like to talk about the end in very, very specific details.
Yes, like, very okay, so heavy choice. Details.
But that's okay, you know, because we got to talk about, you know, a lot of pieces still within the special, and it was so much fun. And Brad, are you a planning Poe, a reading Ray? What kind of vacationer are you?
I'm definitely a reading Ray, because I will bring as many books as I can to the summer vacation, the beach, have my towel, sit under the cabana, shaded from the sun. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yep. Yep. I would also say that sometimes I'm a planning Poe, and then I get really frustrated or really stressed out when my plans get shifted on me. However, I would say that I'm also a reading Ray, because if you knew me growing up, my family used to camp, and I would literally bring two bags full of books to the camping trip that was 3 days long. And I would sit in the corner of our camper, and I would just like put the windows down when they were like screened in little cloth windows, right? I put them down, I would have the screens open, and I would just read all day long. So it's a reading Ray for me.
Perfect. Well, I think we're, that's why we share the same brain cell. We're both right. Reading Rays. Yeah.
Right. And we have to, you know, throw it to the other person when we're reading a book, because we can't both be reading at the same time. It really taxes the brain cell.
Well, if all of you want to hear more about what our one brain cell is thinking of, you can follow Sarah and I on Twitter, Letterboxd, and Goodreads. And you can also follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for all of the latest updates on what we're doing. And also, if you enjoyed the episode, please consider leaving us a 5-star written review. Helps other folks find the show, and definitely subscribe to the podcast so our new episodes drop right into your podcast feed.
Yes, we also have a Patreon where tiers start at just $1, and we are incredibly grateful for all of our patrons. They are Amy, Brian with an I, Brian with a Y, Cheryl, Clay, Danny, Davis, Dylan, Donnie, Huang, Jen, Knights of Ren, Leanne, Levi, Lucy, Luke, Lindsay, Randy, Rob, Saber Bouquet, Skywalkers, Steven, Travis, Tom, and T. Thank you all very much for your support, and thank you to all our listeners for taking time out of your day to listen to this episode and others. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So once again, thank you all for listening. Enjoy your summer vacations wherever and whenever you may be taking them. And until next time, may the force be with you always.
Bye from the Scarif Beach Party.